Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Ball's about 55 yards in the air, 8:15 now. Jeff Nowak joins us, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Jeff, I have been in the dome for a lot of long bombs, a lot of touchdowns by both sides, but that's one of the nicer ones I've ever seen. That was a thing of beauty, a joy forever. Tell me what it was like from the sideline watching it.
Yeah, well, it was a long time coming, right? Like, yeah. It feels like it's been forever since we've seen one of those, and definitely to Rashid Shaheed. You know, he got hurt midway through the season last year, missed the final, 10 games? So, you know, we saw a few long touchdowns to MVS, but he just didn't have that vibe, right? You know, you see Rashid catch that ball, and there's really no question whether he's going to take it to the house or not. I think that's what makes it special, because you know he's got that speed, and we just haven't seen it. But no, that was big, and it was cool, not just because of the play, but also, you know, the moment it happened in the game. They're down 14-6 at that point. You know, if they're pinned back at their 13-yard line, if they go three and out there, give the ball back to the Giants, You know, who knows the way the rest of that game goes. They would be in good field position. Then maybe they score. Maybe they go into halftime up 21-6 instead. You know, the whole stadium, which was, I would say, cautiously optimistic, right? There wasn't a ton of energy in that building over the first, I don't know, you know, 1.5 quarters of that game, just because it's like, oh, we've seen this movie before. Mm-hmm. Like, we feel good about it. Then suddenly, oh, the other team looks like the best offense in the NFL. The opposing quarterback is dicing us up. And then, you know, that everything kind of changed at that point, right?
Like, I tell you what it did.
Score again.
It electrified the crowd is what it did.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what you want to see. That's what you expect to see in that building. And we just haven't seen it enough.
There's nothing more dramatic than watching that ball float in the air and looking at that receiver wide open and knowing something good's going to happen. And there is no substitute for speed in the NFL, is there?
No, and the Saints just haven't done a great job of using it over the first 4 weeks of the season, because it only takes one. Like, you don't have to be hitting bomb after bomb after bomb. One big touchdown, one big play, one explosive like that can change the entire momentum of a game, and it did.
Tell me about some other takeaways that you had after Sunday's game, Jeff.
Yeah, well, there are a few. You know, the Saints are not good enough in the red zone right now, you know, and there's a lot of positives that you can take out of that, particularly on the defensive side of the ball and being opportunistic and taking your advantage of the other team's mistakes, which they made plenty of them. But, you know, three trips into the red zone, zero touchdowns, like, that's not good enough. You know, in a lot of games, that's going to be the reason you look back and say, well, why didn't we win? Well, we left a lot of points on the board. And it's not all on Spencer Rattler. I thought Spencer played, when you look at the numbers, I thought Spencer played an outstanding game, considering he was pressured on 17 of his dropbacks. That's 53% of his dropbacks. He was not sacked in the game. That's the most pressures generated by any team in the NFL this year that didn't get a sack in the game. And that's the Giants' bread and butter, pressuring the quarterback, getting him to the ground. They weren't able to do it once. And a lot of that was on Spencer kind of creating and extending. And he's been so much better at that this year. It's the biggest point of growth for him. And so to me, it's like, okay, how do you get better in the red zone? We got to be able to run the ball in the red zone. You got to be able to get down to the low red zone and create from there, because when you're passing, like, you, every red zone trip is kind of treated the same, but it's a lot different when you're trying to score from the 18 or from the 12 than when you're trying to score from the 3. And the Saints just haven't gotten a lot of opportunities where you could feasibly run the ball into the end zone. So you're putting too much on the quarterback. You got to be better there. But you have to be happy with the young secondary, right? Like, that's the biggest thing for me is you have – this was a season that we all kind of went in ready for, like, this is a take-your-medicine year. There's going to be a lot of frustrating moments, but you're building to something, right? You finally got that win in your in the column, that number in the win column, and you did it with, you know, a rookie outside corner, a second-year outside corner, a rookie safety, a third-year safety. Justin Reed went out with a concussion. He's in the concussion protocol. And that group, you know, did you see a ton of mistakes? Did you see a bunch of busted coverages? Did you see pass interference penalties? Like, no, that was on the Giants. They were the ones that did that.
Yep.
So it was. I thought that was really cool. And that's just a positive thing. You know, in a 1-4 season, you want to be able to look at it and say, okay, but what are we building to? What are the kind of the kernels that we can add to and build around? And those young defensive secondary players were one of those things.
I said this yesterday on that flea flicker. I think it was Burgess clothes like something from Top Gun. Didn't it look like it? Like it's a heat-seeking missile, man. It was like all of a sudden this guy's open, and no, he's not.
Well, what I appreciated about it was that he didn't play completely like a heat-seeking missile. It was more like, you know, like he found him and then he didn't run through him. You see that play a lot. Like he kind of got beat. The flea flicker worked. And the guy was wide open. Dart really, I mean, if he throws it where it should be, it's a touchdown. He underthrows it and gives Burgess a chance. And the biggest part of that play is he was under control. He recovered and he made a play on the ball, but he didn't just run through the guy for a penalty, which you see all the time in the NFL.
Poise.
So that was the big one for me. Yeah.
Did Kool-Aid turn a corner or not? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the analysis of young players always kind of bugs me because, like, it's a lot of times it's like either he had a good game or one bad play, you know, and it's like every NFL game, it's like, okay, you have like a good play, you have a bad play, you got to improve on the bad plays and increase the frequency of the good plays. And then you get to a level where, hey, you're a lockdown corner.
Confidence.
He's a second year pro. So there's going to be like, he got beat there, right? Like there's going to be moments. And those are the ones that are magnified because when a cornerback plays perfect coverage, the ball doesn't get thrown at him and no one sees it.
Right.
Right. So it's easy to ignore all of the kind of, okay, he played that even or he won and then, but he got beat deep on this play. So that's all we talk about. I think Kool-Aid has been kind of steadily improving. It's just nice for him to kind of have those signature moments. You know, even though the first career interception, I would argue is like, maybe you just knocked that one down because it's a fourth down play and you're intercepting the ball 30 yards downfield.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I'm not going to begrudge a guy getting his – if it was his 10th career interception, that would be more critical. The first career interception, it's hard to ask a guy to knock that down. And plus, it was a really nice play by him. So.
Yeah, I got in an argument with some people about that because it's like, well, you basically gave him a punt, and then somebody else said, well, I've never seen him drop the ball in that situation. So anyway, we'll take a break, pick it up. We come back with Jeff Nowak, 822 Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 827, our news director, Dave Cohen's going to join us after the news at 8:30. But if you go to WWL.com right now, you'll be able to see some video Louisiana State Police have released that they say supports the charges against Kyron Lacy. And it is some video that I've not seen before that does indicate the way he was driving that could have caused the accident. So you can go to WWL.com. We'll talk to Dave Cohen about that as well. Jeff Nowak, I was talking about confidence with Kool-Aid McKinstry. You know, I was at the game on Sunday, and I don't know if this happens often or not, but I saw Blake Groupie out there while a halftime act was performing, kicking maybe 30-yard field goals, I guess, with his little thing, the little triangle deal they got to hold the football?
Yeah,
the tee, I guess, whatever you call it, yeah. Does that normally happen or not?
Yeah, the kickers will go out there prior to the start of the second half to get some that extra
he was out there during a lot of the halftime show.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's always more difficult for those guys in their routine when there is a halftime show, like an actual performance, because they kind of have to work around it. But no, that's normal. I don't know. It's tough for me to say whether he was getting in extra work. He is struggling right now, and that's a thing that's something the Saints have to really look at. I don't think they're considering making a change at this point. But you do have to start talking about it, like, okay, can he get this sorted out? Is it an issue? I mean, it's easy to gloss over the fact that he made four kicks in that game, one of which was 53. Like, you ask a guy to kick six times, the standard can't be either he makes all six or he's trash. Like, that's not.
But
that,
on, that a season, though, five, a on a season, though,
kicker
on a season, though.
Five misses.
Yeah.
Too many. He only had four misses all of last season. It's just not clicking for him. And the way he's missed, the way he missed in that game is more concerning than the fact that he missed. And that one was kind of a weird kind of hook. That's just not something you see from him. And then the second one was kept out too far to the right, which to me indicates that he's accounting. He's trying to accommodate for that hook.
Just like golf.
And then he hit it straight. If you played golf, you understand.
Yep.
Like,
just
sometimes
like
you miss because you hit it right where you're.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They're aiming, and that's what happened there. So you've got to figure that out.
That's why stroke and distance is so damaging, because you guess what? You got to stand up there and fix it real quick because you're hitting three off the tee.
Exactly.
I think he's not hurt, right, at all? As far as
that's
you know?
A good question, and you have to start to wonder, because a lot of his misses, the explanation is he just missed it. He mishit it. Like, and why would you be mishitting that consistently? I don't know. So I almost hope that's the case, because that would at least explain some of it. Otherwise, it's just a guy that has lost confidence, and that's not what you want to hear.
Well, but it can come back too. You know, I think in a way, I don't know, Jeff. I could make a case just the opposite, where I would prefer it's mental and not physical, so that maybe, you know, for whatever reason, just like golf, it starts clicking and you're in the groove again. Hey, thank you, man. Yeah. I appreciate it. You do a great job on the sideline. I appreciate your time today, Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Dave Cohen will join us when we come back, talk about the new video released by Louisiana State Police as it relates to Kyron Lacy. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Eno's Inn. Thank you. And 8:39, 21 till 9, Dave Cohen, our news director, joins us now. And Dave, this video that I just saw on WWL.com, tell us about the Kyron Lacy thing and the state police and what they've released.
Well, Louisiana State Police today, saying in an effort to be fully transparent, have released additional video, witness statements, additional reports, and what they say is all of the information related to the investigation into the crash in which Kyron Lacy, LSU superstar football player, was charged with negligent homicide. You recall that Matt Ory, the attorney for the Lacy family, had presented new video this week that he said showed that Lacy was more than 70 yards away from the crash at the time it occurred, and suggested Lacy did not cause the crash. The video that you can now see, and we have his video there as well, but the new video today that we've gotten from Louisiana State Police now shows Lacy traveling at a high rate of speed in his green Dodge Charger, passing four vehicles on Highway 20 before suddenly slamming on the brakes and swerving back into his own lane seconds before the crash that occurs. In the witness statements, it's interesting to hear what the trooper found when he first got on the scene. Multiple people approached the state trooper who arrived to tell them that they needed to go find that green Charger that Lacy was driving because it caused the crash.
It was a green Charger
that caused all this.
SRT8, he caused all of it. He went to pass the cars way back there, sir.
The green Charger collided with these cars?
He went right
He went around that truck, okay?
He was passing up way
with her right now, and she had no choice.
And in the video, you can see, and as you heard that witness say, she had no choice. In that video, you can see Lacey suddenly slam on the brakes, swerve back into his own lane right before the crash occurs. And what what the family attorney, Matt Ory, had said earlier was this was not Lacey's fault. He was blaming the driver of the other vehicle.
You watched a car chart coming at you in your lane of traffic, but you never thought to just tap the brakes? Really? No. Data is accurate. The black box is accurate that says that you never touched your brakes. You never touch your brakes the last 5 seconds until 0.5 seconds before the impact. And that's their data. It's not mine.
He told Homa TV that that Lacey was still 72 yards away at that time and that she could have just stopped. She didn't have to swerve to avoid him. So what this really comes down to, and you can watch both videos at WWL.com, Tommy, is a question. Was Lacey being 72 yards away from this woman in oncoming traffic the reason she swerved and caused the deadly crash that left one man dead and several people wounded, or not? You can go watch both videos and make that determination for yourself.
The woman that swerved was in the opposite lane from the oncoming traffic, correct?
Yes. So Lacey
was in her lane, speeding, going like the video I saw, passing like four vehicles on a two-lane highway. So you got
one lane each direction, double yellow line.
You see
in the middle.
A green charger. I'm just going from a lady's perspective here. You see a green charger coming at you. I don't know that stopping would be an answer if, and I'm not trying to litigate the case at all. I'm just saying that you would have to take some kind of evasive action, you would think, if you saw this car coming at you at a high rate of speed.
He said she didn't even attempt to stop. She just swerved. And so I guess the question comes down to, do you feel like she caused the crash by not trying to stop, instead swerving into oncoming traffic? There was a ditch on the other side. So her choice was to go into the ditch, go into oncoming traffic, or stop while this green charger is coming at a high rate of speed toward her. Lacey did slam on his brakes and move back over and would not have collided with her. But the question is, from her perspective, what choice did she have? The witnesses on the scene said she had no choice. Matt Ory, the attorney for the Lacey family, is saying she could have just stopped and none of this would have ever happened.
And it is a tragedy in so many different ways, because Kyron Lacey went on to shoot himself after a domestic incident with his sister, right? Was this in Houston?
Correct. His sister had called police after they had an argument. She says he pulled out a gun, fired one round that went into the ground, and then got in his car and left. Police were trying to find him to arrest him because of this domestic incident with the discharge of a weapon. They say when they did catch up to him, he was already in the car with a bullet wound through his head.
And real quick, didn't the a little bit of the attorney kind of almost making it seem as though the state police didn't handle this correctly?
They are accusing the state police, and you can see the interviews, of coercing the witnesses to control the narrative that they were delivering about how the crash was caused. Again, you can see the full witness statements and read them from what we have posted at WWL.com.
Can you play that first soundbite again, Tim, if you can, please? Because this is what came from what, body cam video?
Yeah, the body cam video when the first trooper arrived on the scene and what the witnesses told him when he got there.
There's
a green charger that caused all this.
SRT8, he caused all of it. He went to pay the funds way back there, sir.
The green charger collided with these cars?
He went around that truck. Okay?
He was passing up way with her right now.
And she had no choice.
There's no coercion there. That's just witnesses telling what they saw.
Right, but Ory says later in additional interviews, he accuses state police of influencing the statements from the witnesses to align with what those initial witnesses said. Again, you can see all of the witness interviews that Ory presented and state police have presented. All of that's in both of those videos that are the number one story on our website at WWL.com. It will be interesting to see how this goes, because social media went crazy with the narrative from Ory, mm-hmm. and seemed many, many people on social media, the overwhelming posts I saw, seemed to believe that Lacey did not cause this crash after what Ori presented. Now we'll see how this additional video influences that public opinion.
And I know we have to go, but then it turned political, then it turned racial, and it was all about bad driving is what it's all about, I think. Anyway, we'll take a break, come back, talk about the Pelicans. Thank you, Dave. Go to WWL.com. Look at that video. We'll be back. All right, Tommy Tucker, 850, 10 till 9. Go to WWL.com and get in some texts on this. You can see that video the LSP, Louisiana State Police, released about Kyron Lacey, and you can make your own mind up on that. Ollie Cosell joins us now, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Talk about your New Orleans Pelicans. How you doing, Ollie?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am okay, sir. Tell me about the Pelicans and the performance they put on in Australia, down under, as they say.
Right. So they spent a week down there, played a couple of preseason games against NBL, which is the Australian League. And they fared really well, especially in the second game. But what you wanted to see, right, wins and losses don't matter. They weren't trying to win, obviously. Zion Williamson didn't play in either second half of either game. Was the fact that he's healthy, he's moving great, he's looking as good as even he said it himself. He hasn't felt like this since college. So that's fantastic, right? Pelicans need that kind of leader, that one of the best players in the league, an all NBA type. And then, of course, everybody else around them. They've got a lot of new faces, Tommy. Only 8 players returned from last season. So you wanted to see how one of their bigger acquisitions, Jordan Poole, looked, and he looked really good. And Trey Murphy looks like he's ready to be an all-star. And then, of course, the young guys, especially Jeremiah Fears. How are they going to fit? Will Willie Green play them? And again, it looks like the answer was yes, because he got all his run, plenty of run. He was the first player off the bench in that first game and fared really well, despite the fact didn't make all the shots, right? Struggled a little bit, but he looks like a quality NBA type of player with the talent, even though he's 18. So there's a lot to be excited about. There's better depth. Looks like the leaders are going to actually lead the team in terms of Zion Williamson's now grabbed the mantle. And so we've got a couple more preseason games left. We'll have to see. A lot of experts, Tommy, don't like this team the way it's been put together. But I think a lot of people here locally are actually a lot more excited about this team, especially based on what happened last year.
Yeah, I am excited about it. Tell me about Sadiq Bey.
Yeah, so Sadiq Bey, everybody thought he was a throw-in when they acquired Jordan Poole from Washington, the trade that sent C.J. McCollum over to the Wizards. But look, he's not a throw-in. If anybody's followed his short career, he's a really good player. He started a lot of games up for the Detroit Pistons, had even a 50-point game. But the last couple of years, he's been derailed by a knee injury. And he finally stepped on the court. He hadn't played basketball in 18 months before finally playing here in Australia for the Pelicans. So it was good to see that he's moving well, right? Laterally, he's physically as fit as he says he's ever been. So he could be a very useful piece, as you saw, right? In the second game, he exploded for over 20 points, knocked down 4 threes. He took the place of Herb Jones in a starting lineup because Herb has had to miss a few games. But I'll tell you what, he's a quality player. Guy, they haven't had anybody like him since probably Najee Marshall a couple years ago. But he's even more qualified, right? He's got a better resume. So everybody's excited about him, too.
So Jose Alvarado got hurt?
No, Jose's fine. Okay. Jose's fine. He always seems to, you know, he takes a fall, hard fall, but it was nothing serious. He's going to be ready to go.
Tell me about the next preseason game is what, in Birmingham? And then tell me about the season, how we get started here with the Pelicans.
Right. So next week on the 14th, the Pelicans will travel up to Birmingham. This has become a yearly thing where they hold a game up there for which, is, of course, is the home of their G League team. Mm-hmm. So to get the fans excited about the NBA team in Birmingham. So they'll face the Houston Rockets, who now have added Kevin Durant, who are considered to be one of the best teams in the Western Conference. So definitely tune into that game, because you'll get a much better sense of how the Pelicans should fare against at least kind of very quality NBA opponents. After that, they'll play a couple days later their final preseason game against the Orlando Magic in Orlando. And then the regular season, Tommy, it's not far away, a couple weeks away. October 22nd is the first game.
Against the Grizzlies, how important is it that they get off to a quick start?
Oh, I think it's everything. Every year, seemingly, they start slowly, and you're wondering, is this going to be another year where either the wheels fall off or they're just struggling to stay around 500? They never seemingly start on top, and I don't think this year's going to be, honestly, that much different, because the schedule's tough. first 7 out of their 10 games on the road. And there's just so many good teams, you know, for about the first 2 months or so of the schedule. So if they could stay around 500,
that's what I was
going to
say.
Huge, huge win.
That's what I was going to say. I swear to goodness, you took the words right out of my mouth. Ollie, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you know, they play the Nets on December 6th. If you can be 500 at that point, you're in good position.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time as always. Ollie Cosell, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Of course, we'll have all the Pelicans games for you here on WWL. 856, 4 till 9. Traffic now, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.